terribly difficult act to follow. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They should make a pill for things like this. For as long as I can remember, these things have happened to me. And they only seem to be getting worse. So on Friday here, we had our Good Friday service. Part of the tradition we have in the Good Friday service is we take the time to write some sins down on a piece of paper. We bring them forward and we nail them to the cross. And then at the close of the service, we take the cross outside, we burn the sins. So there are a couple of things that are needed to make this process work. You need a cross, you need some pieces of paper, you need some hammers, and you need some nails. So we did this last year, lots of leftover nails. Those double doors over there, it's a storage closet. It's like going into a deep, dark, really messy cave. It looks like stuff had just gone thrown up all through there. And so I go in to find the nails. I look, and I look, and I look. I even move things, looking for nails, because I know the nails are there. Why do I know this? I put them there. So I'm looking. And I know that the nails are there, and they're going, "Hey, over here, look, we're here." And so after about 20 minutes, I give up. I go to Ace the Value place, buy some nails, bring them back, get everything set up. So I set this table up. There's a table in front of the cross. The table has a little sticker on it that somebody had put on, tried to peel off, and so the residue was there. Didn't look so great, so I thought, well, I'll clean that off. So I go back in the closet, and I go to get some window cleaner because I figured that would clean the residue off. I get some window cleaner. I look over. Nails. Now, I think it's a guy thing partially, because there's this whole guy closet thing that takes place where the man walks to the closet because he's looking for a pair of shoes. He opens the closet up. He looks. He swears he moves things around. He looks up. He looks down. He looks around. He can't find the shoes. He goes to the spouse. He says to the spouse, "I can't find the shoes." She replies, "They're in the closet. I've looked in the closet." "Well, go look again because they're in the closet." And he says, "I've already looked." And then finally the spouse gets upset. She comes over. She looks down, opens the door, reaches down, picks them up, slams the shoes into his chest, walks away, says, "There's your shoes." I can remember this happening when I was about 5 years old with my mother. And it's continued since then, trying to find things that aren't there. Because I swear, they're not there. I know they're not there because I've looked. I have corrective lenses in my eyeballs that give me 20/20 vision. I can see everything. But they're not there. They move. It's a trick. I know it's a trick. And it drives me nuts. Because there's nothing worse than having this vision in our mind of the thing we're looking for, knowing we've seen it, picturing it in our brain. You remember. You've seen it in your brain. It's there. And it's in color. It's not even a black and white dream. It's in color, very vivid, right there. And then we try to figure out the context of where it is. And we never can. And then 2 weeks later, we find what we don't need anymore because we went and purchased another one. It's been said that there are actually little thoughts in our brains that kind of just disappear and they go hide somewhere else in our bodies. I don't know if that's true or not, but it could very well be. Today's gospel lesson, they're looking for something or someone. It's not there. It had to have been a tumultuous week, if you think about it, because it started out with the whole entrance into Jerusalem. Big party, big parade, everybody's happy, woo, throwing things around, coming in on a donkey, waving to people, "Hey, how you doing?" Disciples feeling good, strutting their stuff, "Hey, they like us here, this is pretty good." and it ends in death. With a bunch of frightened people out hiding because they figure their lives are in danger. And a lot of confusion. Because this is not the way it was meant to be. And so they go through the Jewish rituals as best they know it to be able to bury Jesus. And the one ritual has to do with the fact of taking care of the body, because what would happen is you take care of the body so the body's not really bad in terms of what happens to things in the desert. And it stays in a tomb for a year, and they come and they collect the remains after that year. And so the women go to do the things they need to do as soon as possible, as soon as the sun rises, the day after the Sabbath. And when they show up, they don't see what they're looking for. They probably looked behind the guy who was sitting there on the right-hand side in the white, saying, "Can you get up a little bit? We're looking here for Jesus." What you do with him? And he says, "He's not here. He's risen and on his way to meet the disciples." Looking for Jesus has always been a quest for us, because where do you find him? From that point on, Jesus would show up a couple of different times throughout Scripture until, with the disciples present, he ascended into heaven before them in bodily form. And that was it, pretty much. And yet, we gather here on a regular basis, and especially on this day, to try to find Jesus. To try to figure out where Jesus is within our world, because we don't see him walking around, we don't see him doing things that we would normally expect the Son of God to do. And it's probably a good thing. Because I think if Jesus would show up right here, right now, that that whole line of terror and amazement would probably kick in with most of us. But you see, Jesus is present within our world. We don't need a pill to be able to find him or see him, to be able to correct our vision, to be able to seek things that seem to be lost or missing or placed somewhere else, because Jesus is very much alive and well within this world in which we live. Not in the bodily form that we understand in terms of being able to singularly pick out one individual and say, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." But we see Christ present in the lives of people throughout our day, throughout the world, and throughout our lives. When we were baptized, somebody who was probably dressed fairly similar to me dumped water on your head and said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And when you were baptized, there is a promise that kicks in right away, the promise of God's presence within your lives, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life forever. Whether you choose to believe it or not, whether you choose to recognize it or not, there is God in your life right there. Beside you, each and every step of each and every day of each and every breath of your life, there is God. Whether we choose to recognize that fact is up to us. But it does not diminish the promise that God places within your life to be present with you. And with that gift of God being present in your life, we have the presence of Christ within our lives, the ability to be able to live our lives in a manner that the world can see Jesus alive and well here today. Yesterday, there were dozens of people getting this place ready for this very moment. There was Jesus.
You should never argue with me when I'm preaching.
Throughout these past weeks, These people have gathered together on a regular basis to be ready for this moment. There is Jesus. There were a group of men who gathered here on Thursday to do a performance. There was Jesus. When we go and visit somebody in a nursing home, we bring Jesus into their lives when we speak our words of faith and compassion. We don't need to pull out a Bible and start quoting scripture, but when we show and share our love with another, our concern, our compassion, there is Jesus. When we go out into this world and we do something to benefit the lives of somebody else without thinking about what we're getting back in return, there is Jesus. When we take the time to love an unlovable person, and you all have a picture of somebody that just popped up into your brain, when you make the effort to do that, there is Jesus. You see, the gift that God gave us in Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, is a gift that lives on here today. It isn't a gift that disappeared some 2,000 years ago, but is a gift that lives in, through, and with us. And while we're not the ones who pull the strings to decide necessarily where Jesus is going to pop out or not, we are the tools for which God can use to see that Jesus, the Christ, is shared throughout the world on a daily basis through what we say and through what we do. God has given us that gift. And it is a gift that God calls us to share. You see, when somebody finds themselves in a place of despair, when somebody finds themselves searching through their spiritual closet, trying to find something that they can't find and not looking for that pill that's going to make it all better, we have the opportunity to be able to offer that gift of Jesus within their lives, to be able to change the situation they find themselves in, to be able to offer the love of God through what we say or what we do, or just the very presence of being there with somebody in need. And the tomb is opened, and Jesus is there for that person. Because we are not only the children of God, we are sons and daughters, bringing Jesus into this world, into the lives of people in need, into moments of despair, into times of crisis, those times when healing is called for. They looked in the tomb and they wondered where Jesus is. Here is Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.